Welcome to the Arts and Antiques Radio Show with appraiser and art aficionado, Dr. Elizabeth Stewart.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven.
Meet the prime movers of the Santa Barbara art scene and hear the tales of art, books, music, and experiences of great value.
You'll find your fortune falling.
There's no place like Santa Barbara for the arts, where beauty works and thrives. What's valuable to you?
There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me.
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara, and I have the great pleasure to talk to you about an event coming up called Coastal Legacy 2019. And this is the first, and we hope the annual, Gaviota Coast Conservancy celebration. And it's happening at the Music Academy of the West. And that is going to be Saturday, September 21st from 2 to 5 p.m. This is not to be missed, because here's the thing. From 1996, this organization has been endeavoring to keep this land for us. And I first heard about it because I had artist Reeve Wolpert, for example, who was just so instrumental in using his visual talents to let people know what a treasure this area is. And then all kinds of people got behind this particular piece of land. And I'm here today to talk with, well, GCC. Phil McKenna is here, who's been dedicated to GCC for about 20 years, past president and currently the chair of the Land Use Committee. He's a retired financial consultant, and he's been in the trenches from the very beginning. And so he's going to answer a couple of questions of mine about how the organization got started, how it's become a different organization or the same organization, or what we have to look forward to in the future. I have with us Joyce Macias, and Joyce is, well, she had a mutual friend in her work at Patagonia, and now she's a new development, she's on the development committee. She's working to grow relationships with new business and personal partnerships, and that could be you, dear listener. And this is, she's actually doing all the fun part of the big event called Coastal Legacy. So Joyce can talk up the events of the elements that we're going to be talking about with this fantastic Coastal Legacy party. And it's a big party that's happening. And you guys, you've got to go and take a look online, because there's all kinds of famous musicians coming. There's all kinds of artwork to be auctioned. There's all kinds of tours you can take. I know, it's amazing. The tickets are not that expensive when you talk about how much this organization has done for us. They're $125 each. And you are on a deadline to buy tickets by Monday, September 16th. So we want to get on the ball and buy some tickets here. Introducing Phil McKenna. And Phil, can you tell us, you've been with the organization for such a long time. How did this start? How did you become involved?
It started as a grassroots organization.
Yeah, yeah.
About 25 years ago, when there was the opportunity and need to begin to organize the community and educate the community as to what the Gaviota Coast is, because the Gaviota Coast is the largest remaining remnant of what once was the Mediterranean coastal environment of Southern California.
And biodiversity.
Absolutely.
Supreme.
It is an extremely rich a biological area, both with animals and plants. The organization in its early and midlife was a volunteer organization dedicated to land conservation. We found it necessary to do battle with a number of developers in the area who were proposing inappropriate developments, the primary one being the Naples development, a couple miles west of the Goleta city limits, where they were going to build 72 houses on the coast. And that was approved 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, and nothing's been built. And I don't think anything ever will be built there. The organization has changed. It's evolved as we have gained experience. The all-volunteer board has gained experience in these advocacy issues. And 3 or 4 years ago, we had a board retreat. We have them every couple of years, and they're very productive. But at this particular retreat, we made a board decision that we wanted to move, transition the organization from being strictly an adversary and an advocate organization.
From an adversarial to an advocacy organization.
Well, from an adversarial organization fighting development to an organization that is going to proactively begin the regeneration of the Gaviota Coast and revitalize it. And we're making great strides that way with cooperative engagement with landowners and ranch owners to scientific studies of regenerative agriculture, to promotion of the California Coastal Trail throughout the entire Gaviota Coast region. And we have gotten to know over the past 20 years most of the landowners, and we're solidifying those relationships, and we're looking for opportunities to work with them cooperatively on potential acquisitions and on realizing the California Coastal Trail.
You know, it's just amazing. So preparing for this interview and reading, going back to Naples and reading about, you know, all the work that you have been doing, it's fantastic, because now you're entering, I think, kind of a new era. You've got a new managing director now. He's got some amazing chops. He comes from a lineage of conservation and advocacy. And I dare I say it, what I'm hearing about him, and maybe you can introduce him to our listeners, what I'm reading about him is he's a realist.
Doug Kern is our first executive director. We hired him in May of this year after a national search.
Yeah.
He came to us from the Mendocino Land Trust, where he was director of conservation up there. Prior to that, he had worked on the San Francisco Presidio Project and its transition from a military base into a national park.
I read about that when he was doing that.
Yeah, yeah. So he has a lot of organizational experience, and more than anything else, Doug is a listener.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he's a real quick study. We're extremely fortunate to have Doug on board. He adds a tremendous depth to our organization. And in this engagement with the broad community, we needed professional management, because we are growing. Our budget has doubled over the past 3 years, and looking forward into the next 3 years, it'll double again. There's a lot of opportunity and a lot of work to be done.
When you talk about the donation, the Jack and Laura Dangermond Preserve is something that I want you to tell us a little bit about. I think it was about $250 million donation to establish that.
$165 million.
$165
million.
A
lot of money.
Yeah.
Lot
to
of
establish
money.
That. And then the you had to come up with around $250 million to actually make it happen. Wasn't that right?
No. No.
Ah.
No. We were not involved in the fundraising for that project. In fact, we, the Gaviota Coast Conservancy, was surprised as the community with this purchase. We did not know it was happening.
You got to be kidding.
No. No, the Nature Conservancy worked on that transaction for 2 to 3 years behind the scenes, but the Gaviota Coast Conservancy set the table for it to happen. And let me just run it down for you very briefly.
Please.
In 2007, Bixby Coho Halama Ranches, 14,500 acres surrounding Point Conception, was purchased by Bopaust Group, which is a hedge fund in Boston. And they wanted to develop the property. They paid $135 million for it in 2007, right before the real estate crisis. The real estate crisis came along, and they had difficulties. They had a management team working it, and they were continued with their development speculation on that property, but there were a number of hurdles. They went to a local water district and tried to buy water rights that they could have tapped into through Vandenberg Air Force Base, and we appeared at that water board and said, if you do that, we will sue you, because this is not appropriate. This is bringing urban sprawl into a pristine rural area, and we will not stand for it. They tabled the motion, and Dangermond went back. In 2010, we were alerted by a community member that they were doing disking in destroying endangered plants, the Gaviota tar plant, on about 40 acres of their coastal property. We went up in an airplane and took photographs of that activity. Took those photographs to the Coastal Commission, and the Coastal Commission opened an enforcement action. Bixby, the management company of Bixby, didn't know what to do with that, and they did nothing for the next 5 years. And understand, during that five-year time period, they could not proceed with any development prospects for that property. We told them that we were not going to talk to them until they resolved this issue. In the interim, through the GAVPAC, the Gaviota planning process, where the local coastal plan was updated a couple of years ago, that was completed. Another board member and myself were on that commission, and we led the charge to make sure that Bixby Coho Ranches did not have unreasonable development expectations, and we were successful on that through a number of political skirmishes on that board. So we really set the table for the acquisition of Bixby Coho Halama Ranches by Jack and Laura Dangermond, because they couldn't go anywhere with it. They were getting nowhere, and it became a money pit for them, the Bopass Group. So Trust, the Nature Conservancy and the Dangermond stepped in and made this fantastic purchase. And I believe they're going to be wonderful. They are wonderful stewards of the property, and they will be a real community asset.
So we just heard a little bit about the, oh, wow, the amazing story. I mean, I feel like I just watched a movie. I got chills. I was about ready to cry. The story of the Gaviota Coast Conservancy and how, you know, a combination of fortuitousness and insight and prescience all came together. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. That's what happened.
That's fantastic. Let's go to a quick break, and we'll get back. I'm going to have Joyce Macias tell us about all the fun things that are going to happen at Coastal Legacy 2019, the first of, we hope, many annual celebrations celebrating the Gaviota Coast Conservancy's stewardship of this wonderful piece of land. Honorees Jack and Laura Dangermond, and we are going to be celebrating together Saturday, September 21st at the Music Academy of the West from 2 to 5. You got to be there. Tickets are $125, a terrific benefit to the community. Let's go to quick break, and then Joyce is going to tell us what's on the agenda for. Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm here celebrating with Phil McKenna and Joyce Macias the Gaviota Coast Conservancy first annual event, Coastal Legacy 2019. It's a party Saturday, September 21st at the Music Academy of the West. You got to be there. What's so interesting to me is talking with Phil, if we just heard from Phil, the combination of serendipity and just sheer hard work. And over the break that we just went through here, Joyce turned to me and she said she's fairly new in the organization, about 4 years out, and what she said was pretty remarkable, that this is an organization where volunteers for 25 years, just volunteers, have made this happen, this wonderful legacy happen, and it's just volunteers. So the volunteers had a great legal counsel, and the volunteers were all grassroots, and believe me, you know, years ago, I knew many of the artists that were involved with that grassroots organization. And this volunteer thing has grown into this particular legacy that is given to us, to the people of the area. I have to say, Phil, it's really interesting. When I first moved here years ago, one of the things that really struck me about the Santa Barbara temperament was that there was always somebody who was a banker, financial advisor, accountant, lawyer, but in their downtime, which you can't even call it downtime, they had a terrific idea about a not-for-profit. Or one guy I ran into in the hot tub when I first moved here was at the athletic club. And I said, what do you do? He says, well, I manage a bank. You know, I'm the director of this bank. But what I really am is a sculptor. And so it's like, you know, you were a financial advisor. What you really are is a community advocate. And what's so interesting is that this is a Santa Barbara story, in that this is a bunch of volunteers that made this happen, this marvelous acquisition for the community. So to celebrate that, Joyce is mounting. She's in charge of the fun department.
I am. I get to do the fun raiser.
And I'm sure it's been work. So tell us what's on the plate for Saturday.
Well, we have so many things going on next Saturday. The tickets are $125. You can buy them online at www.gaviotacoastconservancy.org/2019legacy. And for that $125, well, first of all, you walk up to the amazing, stunning, gorgeous Music Academy of the West in Montecito, which is fabulous. And they're very, very kind to nonprofits there at the Music Academy. Our greeter's Buttercup. She'll be out front.
Well, now she's not a person. She's a chihuahua.
She's a little chihuahua and a modeling. She's a modeling contest winner for Wild Earth Vegan Dog Food, who's also going to have samples there to hand out. We also have a brand new MC on board. A lot of people know him, Chipper Bro Bell. He was a Patagonia ambassador and now motivational speaker, and 18 times world frisbee champion. So I have a feeling he'll be out in front of the Music Academy himself with a few tricks. $125, you're going to have wine from Oriana Winery. You're going to have beer from M Special Brewing, lovely hors d'oeuvres from Seasons Catering. There's going to be music in different parts of the venue, out on Kuhn Court, in the reception area, and, of course, in Lehman Hall on that Steinway. We have Debbie Dinky, local artist here in Santa Barbara, and also Patrick Lindley are going to be taking advantage of that Steinway. In the other areas, we have some guitarist, vocalist.
A banjo player.
A banjo player, a UCSB student, Enrique Hernandez Black, will be playing the banjo.
Fantastic.
And we have the Laura and Dennis Show. Guitar and accordion will be there. So a lot of fun that way. And here's a new wrinkle in the activities. At the event, we are having a free raffle for up to 8 people can put in their name for a free raffle, and that's for a guided hike on the Jack and Laura Dangermond Preserve. And you'll get together with some GCC advocates to take you, along with Michael Bell in the Nature Conservancy out there, and we'll put that lovely hike together with a little lunch, and free. Nothing to buy, free ticket.
I had Michael Bell on the program here, Phil and Joyce, and we talked a little bit. It was about 3 years ago. We talked a little bit. He was in the thick of things right then. And we talked a little bit about this, and he's coming. Is he coming to the event? Is Michael?
Michael Bell will be there on behalf of the Dangermonds.
I understand he's giving away an honorific. Is Michael giving? He's director of the preserve. Michael Bell is accepting the award for the Dangermonds.
Okay. Exactly. Michael is the director of the preserve.
Yes.
And so he has graciously consented to come and be a part of our celebration. And along with, I can't even tell you how many silent auction items that are so fun. Mission Canyon clothing, Great Pacific Ironworks, a wetsuit from Surf Class, a free CV's shopping trip for shoes, and then quite a few of our live auction. We have several trips to Mendocino and right out to Naples Ranch.
And who's doing the auction? Is it John Palminteri?
It's John Palminteri, doing our auctioneer, and Jeff Green will be joining him on stage for the tail end of the program, and we all know how fun Jeff is. So that'll be just exciting. It's just going to be exciting. So we will be announcing the winner of that raffle that day at the event. Again, Coastal Legacy 2019 at gaviotacoastconservancy.org/2019 legacy.
Phil, after 25 years of working on this project, are you staying with the project? Are you staying with the board? Are you? Do you see yourself going forward, or do you feel like this is a job well done?
No, it's a part of my life.
I thought so.
I'm chairperson of the Land Use Committee,
yes.
So that's where all of the issues are filtered through, and we make recommendations to the board. So that's what I really enjoy doing, and I'm lucky enough to be in that position.
I can't thank you guys enough. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, first of all, Richard, this is a gift, you know, it really is. I mean, how much land are we talking about, Phil?
Well, there are 200,000 acres in our project area.
200,000 acres, Richard. Yeah.
Step up, Richard. Write a check. Before we leave, it's fine, really.
Are six digits good enough for you?
Six will work.
Unless
that's 100.00.
Do you mind if it bounces several miles first?
So, like I say, if you would like to find out more information, there's also an information number, 805-683-6631, legacy@gaviotacoastconservancy.org. This is, I hope, Joyce, the first that you do for us of these wonderful parties to celebrate,
too.
You know, this wonderful gift that volunteers have made happen.
I am. In fact, I'm thinking of asking Phil to double my salary.
You don't make anything.
No, I don't. But, you know, it sounds good.
I'll triple it.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you. So, no, again, everybody on the committee, we're all volunteers. We're all volunteers.
How many, Phil, are on what's the total membership?
We have about a little over 4,000 members.
Yeah.
So we've grown slow and steady, and we continue to prosper and grow.
Well, thank you guys for coming in, and I will be there, and I think this is just a magnificent celebration.
Thank you, Elizabeth,
and
so
my
much.
Gosh, over the years, all the people, Richard, we've had on the program that were involved in SCAPE or the Conservancy, mm-hmm. or all of the people that are involved in all kinds of community activist programs and projects, artists, I mean, by the tons, I was trying to draw them in, talk about what we stand to lose. And the idea is that it's actually happened.
It is. And it's, you know, we're saving our backyard.
Yeah.
So that's your backyard, Santa Barbara. So let's get out and work
celebrate.
To protect it and celebrate that Gaviota Coast.
So thank you both for coming. And at the break, we're going to go to a very quick break. And now we got a treat for you because we're doing a little bit of actors to talk to us about a premiere, world premiere, Bless Your Heart, written and directed by Richard Camp, who's a good friend of the program. You will be amazed at the premise of this theatrical production, and we're going to bring it to you right after the break. Don't turn that dial. Back with you in a minute. We are celebrating Bless Your Heart, written by Richard Camp, and this is a really interesting thing that's happening at the Ojai Theater Center. I have to tell you, what's so interesting is it's a little bit, I have Richard sitting next to me to my right. So this is actually a little autobiographical thing, but it brings up really interesting questions, ideological questions, but it's so cool because we get to see a little bit of Richard's past. I mean, as we do, set in the South of the late 90s, the play takes a deeper look at familiar relationships because it looks at religion, science, and family. And if you are looking with me, Richard, you can't see this, can you? Can you look at this? What do you see there? You see a heart. This is the program cover. So you see a heart. It's broken. And what do you see here? You see a what is
that? That's a vase. And the flowers are missing. No, it's two faces.
No, this is a heart. So yes. And it's broken.
Yes.
But you get a crawling animal, and then you get the apes
coming up.
You see coming up through the evolutionary tree.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get a messiah figure, and then you get Elvis. And the subtitle is Evolution, Religion, Elvis. You see, it's instead of the T-shirts where it has the apes, and then it's the man. So at the apex of evolution is Elvis.
Yeah. Well, I thought Elvis was a religion.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what the play is all about in a funny way. Richard, you wrote it. I'm talking about it. Tell us about your work.
Yes, it is. It's loosely based upon my early life. You know, when a dramatist writes a play and it's based on something, you know, you have to make it, you have to fictionalize something because you don't want to get sued. So there are a number of things in the play that are absolutely heart-wrenching and real, and a number of plays that are very, very, very funny. For instance, there's the character, the aunt, who has been married 11 times. Now, I have an aunt who was married 11 times, but she didn't like Elvis Presley. She liked Patsy Cline. But Elvis Presley is funnier. And so in the play, she has an Elvis Presley fetish.
I have also a great friend of the program, Susan Kelly-Gian, and Susan's son is also in the performance as well. Mm-hmm. He was at school. He could have joined us, but he's got school a little incidental there.
Correct.
But, boy, he's a gorgeous-looking child in the program. I was like, ooh, my God.
Thank you. I bred for looks.
Yes, you sure did. And Susan plays Martha. And you know, Susan is known to my audience because she's the director of a Muse of Fire theater company of Ojai. And not only that, she's been in classical theater. She comes from a very body-centered way of performing. So it's going to be an interesting Martha. And David Nelson Taylor's been on our show before. He's playing in this performance Thomas. And David comes to us from the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York City, etc. He's a resident teaching artist with the Ojai Youth Opera. And, you know, when David was last on the program, we talked about his work as an improvisational performer. Richard, I have a question for you. So what's it like to direct these two? What is it like to work with these two?
Well, it's absolutely fantastic because Susan and David are two of the finest actors in the world, and the entire cast is fabulous too. And it's interesting to see someone playing essentially my mother.
And I can only imagine.
And someone playing essentially myself. And you look up there and you watch them move around on the stage and you have like an acid flashback.
An acid flashback. Can I quote you?
Something 50 years ago.
An acid flashback. You heard it here from Richard Camp. You heard it first here, as Richard likes to say. So this is, you know, like Richard's saying, Susan plays his mom, Martha. David Nelson Taylor plays Thomas, the character, based on Richard. Richard wrote the play, and the play is about the clash between science and religion and how those two diametrically opposed ways of looking at life become pitted against each other in the play. So, David, so you're playing Richard's life.
Yeah.
How do you get into your head? What's the conflict there, the religion versus science conflict? What are you dealing with in preparing for this character?
So I come at the character in a particular way. When you're basing a character off of a real life human being, you have to be careful to honor the human being that it's based off of while making acting choices that are creating a character that is very different from that person.
Uh-huh.
My personal background happens to be one that is very similar to Thomas Fields, the character that I play, in that I was raised up in a religious family, not as hyper-religious as the one Thomas comes from, and then I went off to school and I started to discover the fullness of the human condition outside of religion and what religion's place in that is. Mm-hmm. So I used a lot of my own personal experiences as well as conversations with Richard. And the text is so rich and very clear about many of the progressions that Thomas the character has had in his early life and how that influenced the choices he made when he was able to escape that life.
Is it difficult to know the playwright as well as you do? Susan's laughing. You're laughing. Is it difficult to know the playwright as well as you do? I'll say it again. Richard's laughing.
Well, I think it might be harder for David because
he plays him.
Because he plays him, and he's been at every rehearsal looking at us and staring at us. And I'm just, you know, his mom isn't around. So I'm guessing. I'm throwing kind of, you know, the spaghetti at the wall and hoping something sticks. So, but what I'm laughing at is when Richard comes and he says, "Hey, Mama." It's a little strange juxtaposition.
Yes.
And I'll let David answer this too.
It's been really fascinating to have Richard as the playwright at our rehearsals. Watching him watch us and reliving some of the moments that were very real for him that are on the page has just been an incredible gift. You know, some actors have approached it very differently, wanting to know more about their real life counterparts, and others have said, "I want to create this on my own." So it's very different for each individual actor.
Susan, can you grab the green mic there? And do you want to know more about Richard's real mom?
I wanted to see her picture, and I feel that from those pictures, I asked him for a few different shots, similar to my age right now, or the age of the character in the play, so I could get an insight of what she looked like and just maybe a feel for that. And also, because he is so close to his mom, I didn't want to make a caricature of her or be her, but kind of channel it. I talked a little bit with Richard's wife, who had a separate viewpoint on his mom, to see what her insights were as observing, right? So I don't know if that answers the question.
It does. But it's fascinating.
It's just I didn't want to become his mom because I'm my own person.
Yeah, sure.
And I wanted to make it organically, authentically real of my experience of this. But his mother is very far away from who I am. So it took quite a journey for me to get to that place to really hold on to something that was real. Well, I asked him questions. There was questions that Richard and I discussed.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't say, like, how did she hold her hand on the glass? Like, I don't want to do that. I want to just say, like, did she react this way? Or?
I want you to tell us because, you know, maybe listeners are listening to you for the first time. Maybe they haven't heard our speaking together in a number of occasions on the air, Susan.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about Richard's mom being far away from where you are, can I draw the conclusion that you are much more bohemian lifestyle, much more a free spirit, and that this particular character is not?
Go.
Oh, Richard, yeah, answer that, Richard. Yeah, you're the playwright. Here we are talking. Oh, Richard. Go ahead.
Well, my mother had a sixth grade education, so that's one important element that removed Susan from it because she's a very educated person. I want to just briefly tell you that the basic premise of the play is that Thomas, the main character, is the first person in his family to ever graduate high school, much less college. And he left and education got him out of the very poor working class family that he lived in, and highlighted by the evangelical aspect of it. You know, my stepfather was a Baptist preacher, and one of the main characters in the play is a Baptist preacher. So it's the difference between evolution and religion, because the main character teaches evolution now at a school. And I think Anson Williams came to see the play the other day, and he said something that he said, it's about, is there a God or isn't there a God? We go back and forth, we argue, but the basic premise is, at the end of the play, you find out that God, that love is God. And that's the whole premise of the play. And in order to get there, though, you go through a whole lot of humor and a whole lot of...
And so, therefore, the title, Bless Your Heart, right? Because, actually, that's talking about that. Okay, now we know where God is. God is love.
Yeah, bless your heart is an old Southern statement.
Bless your heart kind of means
say, oh, you know, he's really simple. Bless his heart, or you know, it's just something to comment upon what you just said. Hello. And when you say something and then you say, oh, I don't really mean that. Oh, bless his heart.
Bless his little heart.
Yeah, like in the play, talk about if someone being fat. Well, they're not fat. He's just big bone. Bless his heart.
Richard, let's go to a quick break. And when I get back to what I'm interested to know is the role of music in this, because I know, you know, David, he's a musical being. I mean, you are a musical person, and you know, you do a lot of work in the music arena in Ojai, and then we've got Elvis coming in. It's not Patsy Cline. It's in your mom, but Elvis is in here. And what role does music play in the performance? I want to know when we get back from the break from David, from David Nelson Taylor. And just reintroducing, this is a play that is a world premiere written by Richard Camp. Bless Your Heart. It's coming to the Ojai Arts Center Theater. And it is a little bit autobiographical, but if you've grown up in a family where you had a little bit different thoughts about anything that was core importance to you versus core importance to the family, this is the play for you to go and see. And we're going to tell you how to get tickets to in a minute. Don't turn that dial back in a second. Welcome back. We are talking with the writer of the play at the Ojai Center Theater, and this is going on 4 weeks, September 6th to the 29th, so the countdown is on you, dear listener. If you want to see the play, you can go on to the Ojai Arts Center Theater website and buy your tickets there. During the break, Susan summed it up for me. She said, look, whatever you're thinking about the play, at the heart of it, it's about a dysfunctional family. Which we all know about, don't we, Richard? We know about dysfunctional families. And it's a comedy about a dysfunctional family. And we were talking a little bit. Richard was saying, oh, to Richard Camp, Richard Dugan was saying, oh, I could tell you stories. Richard was in Christian radio for a long time. You know, he can tell you stories. And Richard can tell stories. But, Richard, you had somebody that was a Baptist that came into the show the other night. What happened with that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't think I answered the question about my mother before, so I want to just briefly say that Susan has taken some of the best elements of my mother and used those and transformed her into the character of Martha, which is basically my mother, but it's really Susan creating this character, too, and it's just really wonderful. But I want to talk about the ecumenical aspect of this play. Saturday night, a friend of mine came to see the play. Afterwards, she walked up to me. She looked at me, and she started crying. She just held me for 1 minute and sobbed, crying. And she said, that's my mother. That is my mother on the stage. And her name is Aliyah Moore Khan. She is a Muslim. And we are a Baptist family. And it
really?
just broke my heart, and it made me feel, you know, because as you said, every family, you know, dysfunctional family goes through something like this, and my family was like the king and queen of dysfunctional families, so.
That is so interesting. David, I wanted to talk with you about the role of music in the play.
Yeah, the role of music is ever present in the show, and as it is for Richard, music plays a big part of Richard's life. And I think those of us that did grow up with religion as a part of our lives, or as continuing to be a part of our lives, the religious musical canon is so rich and evocative. And throughout the show, family members just break into song. Sometimes it's Elvis, sometimes it's a religious tune. And it's very powerful. It brings you right back into the emotionality of what's going on in the scene by dropping into a song. There's a great scene where Martha, Susan's character, is in a funk. She's, you know, angry, frustrated. She's just, you know, displeased with everybody. And Chance Collegian, her real-life son, who plays my brother, comes up behind her and just starts singing to her to try and get her out of the funk. And it's so beautiful the way in which his song transforms the room and transforms the energy. And my character is also in a little bit of a funk. And he just starts singing and starting very softly but raising his voice and gets the entire family singing and up and dancing and changes the mood in not quite an instant, but really over the course of 30, 45, 60 seconds, the mood in the room and the mood on stage has gone from angsty to just celebratory. And I think that's really a really powerful metaphor for the entire show, that in our families, we can shift the mood if we can find something that is common for us and that moves us and connects us together. Mm. Any thoughts on that, Susan?
Shift. I wanted to get back to what you said, David and Richard. David just said you can shift the mood if you key into something that's of enjoyment to the family. In the way that in Bless Your Heart, Richard Camp's play, music is that vehicle. You know, I don't know if there's anything like that in my family. I don't know if I could introduce any one particular thing that would change the raging dysfunction of my family. And I would love to know the key to that, but, you know, maybe I ought to see the
A minor.
A minor. Don't turn that down. We'll be back in a minute. We're talking about a world premiere at Ojai Art Center Theater. I have two of the actors here with me, as well as the playwright. And you have not a lot of time. The show closes September 29th. If you want to see the show, it's 4 weekends, and you already are down a few. So if you want to see the show, you need to go to Ojai Art Center Theater website and buy some tickets. This is a fun comedy about a dysfunctional family written by Richard Camp. And you've seen his work on stage, I know. So don't turn that dial. Back in a minute. We're talking a little more about Bless Your Heart. Welcome back. A world premiere at the Ojai Art Center Theater, Bless Your Heart, written by Richard Camp, semi-autobiographical about the conflict between religion and actual family. And I said to myself, reading the bios and the blurb on the play, how prescient. Richard, were you thinking of the current conflict in this country when you were writing this play?
Yes, I was, actually. This play is, I mean, it's 10 years in the making, but right, the problems that we discussed in the play, I've been with this for many years, but right now it is just so heightened by society and how we're living in now. And people don't talk to one another. They will say something and then the other person will say something and nobody listens to one another. And so this is a play about trying to come together. The complete opposite side of the coin from an agnostic to the mother. That was Thomas, and the mother is a believing Christian, you know, and to believe very dearly in what she believes. So, and those two, you know, ultimately try to find a way to come together in the play.
Susan, can you comment on that? The conflict in the play with the religion and the social evidence. I mean, basically, we have a country that's facing much the same.
Mm-hmm. I actually didn't want to go there.
Okay.
Because I'm not the playwright nor the director. Mm-hmm. And when I approach it as an actor point of view, I can't think about the broad world and how this is going to affect anything.
I love it.
I actually become a little bit more myopic and come from that grounded intrinsic place of where she would be. Because if I think of any of that outside, because I'm very opposite of this character. I can't have my own thoughts dictating and like commenting in my head while I'm saying something. So I have to actually not think of it.
I love it.
As an outside critic or on the big picture, I certainly can talk about that. I won't do that today.
Yeah.
I have very clear opinions on that. It's just that I don't want to do this to, I don't want to dishonor her.
Yes. Well put. David, tell me about what you think in regards to, now you're an evolution teacher in the play at the end.
Yeah. I appreciate Susan's perspective there 100%, and have a little bit of a different perspective because my character is the one very actively who has escaped the mindset and is trying to change his mother and his family's perspective. And in that role, as a teacher and trying to change that perspective, I brought a lot of myself to that, and I think that is very important piece of the performance.
Well, thank you, guys. Celebrate Bless Your Heart. Tickets are for sale at Ojai Art Center Theater website, and you have till September 29th to see the show. Thank you guys for coming in. Congratulations, Richard. World premiere.